flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest 100% organic cotton sheets from Boll & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with sheets that feel breathable to sleep in. You'll experience the purest softness on night one and feel your sheets get even softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first set of sheets at bollandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
What is... Dax, are you...
tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all, so we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Oh, see, now you're just cheating. I was ready today. I had the mic on. I was going to jump right in.
Yeah, I saw that. I don't know that it's cheating.
He's cheating.
I did do that on purpose. I did.
Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen, the four most electrifying hours in sports talk entertainment starts right now. Welcome in, y'all. Happy Thursday,
I think.
Pretty sure it's Thursday.
Woo!
Yeah, I'm going to go with Thursday. Final answer, Regis. Lock it
in. What do you need me to?
I was looking for brief confirmation.
Well, Flair was acknowledging that you were correct.
Woo!
Yes, it is Thursday. You know it's Thursday.
Tis Thursday.
Because Thursdays are always busy on this here program.
Tis Thursday, tis busy. It is Thursday and it is busy. We got a lot going on the radio broadcast today. The lovely Lulu Kessin going to join us at 8 a.m. to talk a little Gamecock athletics with us. The good news is Rashad Beard is healthy and well, unlike last week. The bad news is he's got a family obligation this morning, but he promised me with a capital P on the front end of promise that he'll be here tomorrow. So we'll talk some Panther football with Rashad tomorrow. Not today, unfortunately, as we usually do at 8:40. He's going to join us tomorrow on the radio broadcast, and I look forward to having Rashad Beard back in the fold. Missed him last week. We'll get him back this week. He's got something with his daughter. And we don't fault him for that. I excuse that. I told him last week I was a little disappointed that he didn't rise like Lazarus and get on the show with us. But he promised me that he'd be here tomorrow on the show. We'll see how that goes. We got Hayton Ask Mario coming up at 9 a.m. this a.m. We'll talk to Mario a little bit about the Super Bowl, get his early thoughts. I've said a couple of times so far that as a sports wagerer, somebody who likes to dabble in the entertainment of wagertainment, as we call it on the Beck UL Network, there's some bets for the Super Bowl you want to lock in early, and you want to lock them in early because the casuals are going to get involved here, and the casuals can drive the numbers.
Even though you're trying to be nice, how you're saying casuals, it still means what it means.
You know how
I applaud you for your effort to try to make it sound less condescending, but it's kind of.
You know how, and I'm gonna try to create, because somebody else said that to me yesterday. They were like, "Rob, I heard your gambling segment." They were asking. They don't gamble. They were one of the people I'm describing. They don't gamble, but they wanted to put a little something down.
So they also were a lesser.
A casual.
Compared to,
I'm gonna hang on. Let me get to this because I think I've come up with a an analogy that works perfectly that you're gonna then say doesn't even though it does. I was talking to somebody yesterday, the day before, when I started bringing up the casuals and how the casuals have an impact on Super Bowl lines more than any other game, any other sport, any other season, any other time. And this individual is actually going to be at the Super Bowl party that the wife and I attend annually. A couple of buddies of ours throw a big Super Bowl bash every year. The wife and I head over, and this person goes. And the last couple of years, there's like probably 12, 13 dudes and wags that are there with us for that. And annually, we all lock in at least one prop bet together. Prop bet is when you're not betting on the score, you're not betting on one team to cover the spread, you're not betting on the total number of points that are going to be scored.
So it's like how many times Taylor Swift will be shown on camera.
That is a prop bet you can bet on. Absolutely. Yeah. The bet that we make every single year, great one, is will there be a doink? Will there be a doink? You will recall
a lot of doinks this year in the NFL.
A lot of doinks this year.
And in college, too, but more so in NFL.
The number, the betting line on the doink is actually way down. Right? 2 years, I think it was 2 years ago, either 2 or 3 years ago, we bet on this. So like I said, there's like maybe 12 of us, and we all bet, will there be a doink? And that number usually hovers around like 9 to 1, right? And we all throw like $10 at it. It's nothing big. It's not like it's a dramatic bet. It's like a six-pack bet, right?
So real quick, when you guys are betting on the doink, do you look at the individual kickers and see how many of you doinks they had during the season?
Ordinarily, I would. For this, we don't because it's just the boys, right?
Okay, all right.
And so we a handful of years ago, we all bet the doink together.
Because I don't know how many Bucker doinks there were.
And a couple of years ago, and I at this point, I can't remember who it was that kicked it, who the kicker was. It may have been the Chiefs. But a couple of years ago, there was a doink. And the party lost it. Like all of us turned into a group of high school girls when one of them gets asked out by the football player crush. You know, they all kind of arm in arm and jumping around. That was us. We all lost our minds. We turned into a bunch of 12-year-old girls. It was incredible. Like, it was the most electrifying moment of any Super Bowl in the history of Super Bowls. And there was a group of people there. There were like 3 or 4 of the dudes that were not in on the doink bet. So one of these guys the last couple of years has been in. And he says, and he bets the doink with us every year. You know, we all have a group thread going where we'll be like, yo, I'm going to take Chris Jones over 1.5 sacks because I think he can get to Jalen, right? I'm going to take Jalen Hurts over 0.5 interceptions. We're all giving our props that we're thinking about taking. And so one of our buddies, name is Chris. I'm talking to him yesterday. And he's like, you know, I watch because those of us that actually bet on the game, not just the doink, but like actually bet the game. He's like, I watch how into it you guys are and how you're talking. And like, it looks like a lot of fun. Can you help me out with this? I'm like, absolutely. So I'm kind of giving him the spiel. And he said, I heard your segment. That's why I'm kind of interested. And he said the same thing. He's like, you know, I almost kind of feel guilty about it. I said, why? And he said, because I don't really bet. And you know, you're saying the casuals are going to impact the betting line. It's not a bad thing. So my analogy that I put together, a great one, is this. You know how, and I know you do, you know how every now and then there'll be a video game coming out that you are just like amped about, right? You see the previews a year and a half out at, you know, XCon or whatever it is that you're watching, and they drop a trailer for a video game, and you see it and you're like, oh, hell yeah. Oh, day one, night one. I'm going to GameStop. I'm picking that up that night. I'm downloading it that night, whatever. And then
scenario is a little outdated, but that's fine.
That night, you get on, and as soon as it becomes available in the online marketplace, because Lonzo doesn't go places, he's downloading games like a millennial. When it comes online, you go download, and then it says, there's a large number of people trying to access this game. Servers are slow. You may have to wait some time. And it's disappointing. You're looking at it like, damn. And the reason why is because a lot of people who maybe don't ordinarily play the video games, they're all jumping in line to play this video game that you're very excited about. And now you can't play the video game. You got to wait for all the casuals to get out of the way so that you can download your favorite new video game and jump online and play, right? It's that. It's that. Now, the reason I'm not mad about it is because it's somebody who at least likes to on the radio pretend like they know what they're doing. It doesn't bother me that much because when I have a read on it and I can get a pretty good read on what the public is doing, right? Like the public's betting the over. We know that. They do it every year. The public bets the over because nobody, and I said this yesterday, nobody wants to go to a Super Bowl party and root against touchdowns. Nobody wants to do that. So I know the public's betting the over. Well, that line opened at 49.5, and there is a little bit of consideration in that from Vegas. They're going to set that number a little higher than they might because they know people want to bet the over. But when I go to this party, and like my buddy Chris, who doesn't really bet, but he doesn't want to bet against touchdowns, he's going to put a little action on the over. And eventually, Vegas is going to look, and they're going to go, we got to make that 49.5 a 50.5, maybe a 51.5, because of the amount of casual money coming in on the over that does not know whether that's a good over bet or not. They just know they want to see a bunch of points. And so if I am planning on betting the under, which I'm not committed to yet, I haven't decided, that actually helps me out a little bit because I'm going to wait, and I'm going to wait right up till kickoff, and I'm going to let the casuals bet that number up for me as high as they can, and then I'm going to slide with the under, and that might earn me a point, 2 points.
All right. Here's the thing. I think every time you say casual, it is demeaning. Just replace a word. Here's what I would do if I were you, and being the great bettor that you are, I would say this is the exciting time of year to be a bettor because there are more and more people betting, and this shows how good you are at what you're doing. So as a person who hosts a betting show, you can say, hey, this shows how good you are because there's an influx of wonderful new bettors. And now I can show I know what I'm doing.
But the thing
instead
is,
of going casual.
The thing is
casual.
The thing is,
you can change your tone, but the word is demeaning.
I mean, okay, two things. Number one, you feel that way about it, and it's subjective, and that's fine. Number
By the
two,
way, you just told
two.
Me someone else did, so don't
Correct.
So don't just put me
but
in a box.
Two,
be
so
a really
clear.
Big box, by the way.
I don't care. I don't care because listen.
But you should.
The word casual.
You should try to be nice, right?
Lonzo, if somebody calls you and they say, "Hey, dress casual," you don't go, "Oh, dress like a slob." You go, "Okay, dress casual, just not formal."
No,
right?
I need exact definitions of what casual is because casual means something different, especially in 2025.
Okay, for those of us,
am I going Fetterman to the inauguration?
No, that's not cat.
Okay,
there is
because his casual and your casual.
I understand.
Something totally different.
But there is, amongst people who go places and do things,
mm-hmm.
when I say formal, we know what that means. Business formal, we know what that means. Semi-formal, business casual. There are set.
No. When you said business casual, get that. As soon as you say casual, it becomes so broad that it becomes how each individual person defines casual. So I don't think you ever say casual without expecting someone to show up in sweats or shorts.
No, I do. Because again, I'm not even going to say most, but for the circles I run in,
1%er circles.
These words have set definition. There is a definition of the word casual. Just means not formal. Right?
I'm just trying to help the people out, man. I'm a man of the people, and you're demeaning the people. That's all I'm saying.
The word casual means it is something that is not taken seriously as a regular portion of your life. So when I say a casual bettor, I am saying not that it's a bad thing. I'm saying they just don't bet that much.
All right.
Let me finish. They're going to bet the Super Bowl, and then they're not going to bet again. Until the Super Bowl. That's something you do. For instance, I play basketball casually. That is, once every 2-3 months, I slap on the J's and I head down to the Y with my buddy Tim, and we lift J's for 45-50 minutes, and we always say, we're going to do this more often, and then we don't. I'm a casual player. That's not derogatory. It just means I'm casual. So the boys down at the Y who go down there and play a pickup game every day, when I go down there with my buddy Tim and we claim the court and we're going to shoot J's for 35 minutes, they may show up ready to play a game and they have to wait because me and Tim got the court for our 30 minutes of scheduled time putting up J's or whatever, and they're going to look and go, these casual players are running the night. It's negative to them.
All right,
is it bad to me?
No, this is just your way of thinking. you gave the video game analogy, which actually happened to me recently when last year when Diablo 4 was released. There was a wait time, and I didn't go, oh, these casuals coming in. No, I thought, man, this game is selling really well. Good for them.
That's how I feel about the betters. That's my point.
Yeah, but that's not how you're making it sound. You're making it sound like you're above everybody else, and anyone else who wants to participate is a casual.
No. Yeah. I literally feel the same way about these people that you feel about those people made your Diablo timeline.
So here's the thing. I didn't label. You're labeling. You're absolutely labeling.
Are those Diablo players, are they casual video gamers?
I don't know. I don't know.
Okay.
A game sold really well. A lot of people bought it. I don't know if these are new people or old people or people who are fans of the franchise. I don't know.
Okay.
Just like I don't know that there's not a guy who only bets. So what makes you a casual? If you only bet the Super Bowl, are you still a casual?
Yes, that's the definition of casual.
What you're saying is it's not their job.
Then what do I call them?
A better.
Do I call somebody who's going to bet one time a year?
A better.
That's not a better.
It is a better.
No, it's not. Yeah. I mean, they have bet.
Exactly, which makes them a better.
If somebody drives one NASCAR race, are we going to call them a NASCAR driver?
For that day, for sure.
Okay. So, regardless of how Lonzo interprets
it's
how I say.
It's not just me. You pointed out your friend.
And
who said the same to you.
And
I'm trying to help. It doesn't matter if you offend me. I'm more worried about you offending the listeners and your friends.
Okay.
Because we offend each other all the time. That's never going to go away until that offense that happens that's too far, which may or may not happen. But I'm worried about the listeners. I'm worried about your friend. I want your friend to not be offended by what you're saying. I want your friend to be able to participate with you guys and have fun. But your use of the word is causing him to go, I don't know, man. I don't want to be looked down upon.
He clearly was so upset and offended that he then literally called me to go, can I get some help from you?
Well,
so he was obviously hurt.
But he talked to you about the word. That's all.
So all of that said and put aside, we are going to talk coming up at 9 o'clock this morning with our buddy hating ass Mario Heron from the BetQL Network, an NBA and NFL gambling analyst for the network. We will ask him his thoughts on the Super Bowl. We will ask him if there's any early bets because there are early bets that I think if you want them, you need to get them now. Because I think that probably this weekend is when you are going to start seeing the novice bettors start to put their money on the table. And that's when things start to bump up. And I'm not just talking about the over-under. I'm not just talking about the point spread. I'm talking about yardage in props. I'm talking about the odds you are getting for them, etc. So, if that is you, if you are looking to maybe head up to Asheville, head up to the border, and put a little money down on this game, then we're going to get to that later on. I'll give you some of my thoughts. We'll get Hatin' Ass Mario's thoughts at 9 o'clock. It's Thursday, and you know what that means. Coming up at 9:20 this a.m., the Great One walks us through everything boxing, MMA, and pro wrestling on Fight Club. And I suspect, though I'll get Lonzo to confirm here, I suspect we're going to be pretty heavy on one event today in the Fight Club.
Yes, we are.
Yeah, thought we might. Ladies and gentlemen, that's PLE of the year.
A lot of fantasy booking happening.
A lot of fantasy booking happening. Coming up this afternoon, the number one PLE in the game, if you ask me, is the Royal Rumble, and that happens on Saturday evening. You can actually bet on that, by the way. You can actually get odds on that, but we'll come back to that later. Fight Club talking Royal Rumble coming up at 9:20, so if you are a fan of the pro wrestling, you're going to want to stick around for that. We got all of that and more coming up on the radio program today. I am Rob Brown, the Great One Lonzo, not a casual, is on the other side of the metaphorical glass. Let's rock and roll, kids. Join us on the live stream, by the way, facebook.com/thefanupstate, thefanupstate on YouTube, The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, Facebook, and Twitch. Let's ride here on The Fan Upstate. The Hot Rod Brown Show on your radio at 6:21 in the morning. Welcome in, ladies and gentlemen. Rob the Great Malonzo with you. 4 hours of sports talk entertainment coming your way starting right this very second. Got a lot we got to get to on the show today. But I do want to start with this. We obviously are now just a tick over a week away from our final relevant, meaningful football game of the year, at least amongst the leagues that you people have proven that you do care about, the National Football League. We've got some, the UFL's coming back, and I'm going to go ahead and do that thing where I'm going to promise you up front I'm going to do my best to stay tuned and stay involved and watch everything, but then the weekends are going to roll around, and I'm going to have baseball and golf tournaments and NBA and yada, yada, yada. I'm going to watch like 2 weeks
in the
mail.
Is it still the UFL? I thought they changed the name.
Didn't they go from the – or is it the – it's USF now, right? It was the UFL and the XFL, and then they combined, and it's the USFL now. This should tell you exactly what we collectively think about this league.
It might still be the UFL. I can't tell.
I think what I've said before, and I'll say again, is I want it to be good. I want it to be not just a breeding ground for the NFL, not just an experimental ground for the NFL that they can utilize to determine if they should make rule changes. And I do want it to be that, just so we're clear. I think it's the perfect place to say, let's try this rule and see how it actually works and impacts the game. Get a good feel for it, get a good vibe for it, then move it over. But I also know, and I've said this 100 times and 100 times again, at the end of the day, we collectively, we only watch the best. We only watch the best. Nothing that's not the top tier of whatever that thing is ever going to succeed.
You should check out the UFL gear store, though. I think there's some stuff there that you might like.
There's some dope, listen.
Yeah.
There's some dope merch. I like a lot of the unis. I like a lot of the gear. I like a lot of the names and the logos and all that. It's a league that I think does as good of a job as is possible to try to create relevance for themselves.
I'm not going to pay $125 for a Birmingham Stallions replica jersey.
No, I barely pay that for my actual NFL team. That is one thing that I think the USL probably, and for the record, you can drive down to Birmingham and you can go to a Stallions game, and they're not that expensive. It's like $20 to get in the door, right? Like, if you're in one of the markets, it's great, but there's only, what, a handful of teams, not a ton of markets, right? Like, there's not a UFL team within driving distance here, and even though it is football, America's favorite sport, it is a, I think they would acknowledge, second-tier version of it that is being played alongside first-tier versions of other sports that, while not our favorite, are still big. The NBA, the MLB, et cetera, et cetera. And, you know, at the end of the day, we only got so many hours that we can burn in the day watching. So it's always going to be tough sledding for a secondary league to try to get up, get going, and be successful. I do hope it finds success. I hope it finds success for two reasons. Number one, I do think it is a wonderful experimentation ground for the NFL where they can say, before they put a rule into place in the NFL and get an idea whether it's going to work or not, they can put it into effect there and see what the actual impact on the game is going to be. And I think that's a positive. The other thing is that I think is a positive. I think it is an excellent opportunity for a lot of guys that maybe aren't, you know, they're not going to jump off the page in practice, but they're not practice players. They're game day players, to have somewhere to go to make a name for themselves, to prove themselves. And we have seen a couple, not a ton, but we have seen a couple of players have some success at that level and then find their way onto an NFL roster and have a chance to compete. And I think that's a good thing. Places that we can find more talent and give guys opportunity to thrive in the game, I think is a good thing. That's just me. All right, there is some stuff I want to get to as the show rolls on. Let's start with this one. And we may or may not spend any measurable amount of time on this. On FS1, the Craig Carton Show, there's a cat by the name of Danny Parkins. Danny Parkins used to be on 670 The Score in Chicago, Illinois. He is now Craig Carton's co-host in the mornings on FS1 and Craig Carton of the Craig Carton Show. Danny Parkins had a take on the tush push that I'm going to play for you. I want to see, because Craig Carton kind of fired back at him. And I'm just curious. We all know what the tush push is, how it works, what the Eagles have done with it. We also call it the brotherly shove. Here was their debate. And I'm genuinely curious as to if any of you have picked a side. I have heard this quite a bit. It's like the second most popular chronically online argument that is taking place amongst NFL fans right now. Obviously, one is the refs and the Chiefs. The other one is the tush push, is the brotherly shove bad for football? And I'm going to say this. I kind of like Danny Perkins. I didn't know a lot about him. When he got the job, Cody Decker, my co-host on Saturdays on Bet for the Cycle, was like, I used to work with that dude. He's a real good dude. And I kind of got into his stuff. He's a little bit argumentative at times, like unnecessarily argumentative. Not that we would know anything about that. He's a little bit unnecessarily argumentative at times. And he does have some takes that are a little outside of the norm. But I don't have an issue with that. So do I. I like him. I don't like this argument. You know, there is a way to stop the tush push. Do you know what the way to stop the tush push is? Don't let them get down close to the red zone. Don't let them get into third and very short and fourth and short situations. See, it's one thing when we're having the argument about, you know, did Dalton Kincaid get a first down? Did the Bills get a first down? And I got into this yesterday online because I just can't help myself when somebody said, well, you know, if you picked up more yards on the play and don't let the refs get involved, but that's not how it works. We don't say, well, it's 10 to get a first down, but like 11 to be sure. No, it's 10 to get a first down. You either did or you didn't. With the tush push, what that team does is that's football. It's part of football. There's ways to stop it. Get bigger, better, faster, stronger defensive linemen. You know it's coming. Get a big old brick bleep house and put him at the nose guard and tell him hold his ground. Like, there's ways to stop.
By the way, Frankie Luvu, your way of stopping it doesn't work.
No, it does not work.
Also, it's a lot of fun to watch.
This and I may reveal something about myself here I don't intend to. Did you know
no one knew, Rob.
I don't think, did it, did any, genuine question, did any of y'all know that the referees could just look out there and be like, yo, touchdown. You know what? We're tired of this. Let's go home. Touchdown. I had no idea.
I would have to believe that the majority of people at home watching that game went, what?
Yeah.
Because I know I did. I was like, huh?
The explanation of the refs, like, and by the way, I loved how like casually.
But the thing is, they explained it up in the booth before the referee said
yeah.
it. Yeah.
But I don't pay attention to that. I loved how casually the ref was like, tweet. Encroachment on the defense. Washington has been informed that we may award a touchdown at some point in time if this behavior continues. And I'm like, that seems, I mean, it makes sense.
I can't remember. I think it might have been Pereira in the booth who told the guys, hey, if they keep doing that, they can award points. And next thing you know, he blew the whistle and said the same exact thing. And I was like, oh, okay. Has that ever happened? I don't know if that's ever happened. Maybe like back when football started.
I guess it makes sense because I like in years gone by, I've been like, why don't you just like if I'm an inside linebacker and they're running that play, don't you just keep doing that over and over until you time it right? Like eventually the law of averages says if I dive over the center 57 times, at least sooner or later, they're going to try to quick snap it, and I'm going to time it up. Why would you not do that? And now I know the answer.
I don't think he was doing it on purpose to cause penalties. I think he was trying to get the snap count. Thought he had it. Got fooled every time. I think each time he's like, okay, now they're going to think. Now they're going to think I'm not going to do that again. So now I'm going to do that again.
That's what I was just saying. Like I think if I'm Frankie Luvu in that spot, I'm just going to keep diving over the pile. And the law of averages says that. Eventually, I'm going to do it when they snap the ball. Eventually, I'm going to time it right. And eventually, I'm just going to be able to like grab Jalen Hurts and do like a small package roll up for the down. I'm going to keep doing it. I did not know that they could just go with points. Anyway, not the point.
Here's the thing. There's only one team who has it's unstoppable for, and that's Philly. I mean, we saw how Kansas City stopped Buffalo from doing it. I don't think they stopped Philadelphia from doing it that way.
Here's the thing.
Because there's no left or right tendencies. He just goes right up the middle.
Well, going left or right isn't the tush push, right? Like, the tush push is the tush push because Jalen Hurts gets all up into dude's tush. Like, that's the point of it. It's called the tush push because, and I've explained, like, how it works. Go watch it in slow motion on YouTube or whatever. It's incredibly entertaining to watch. Jalen Hurts takes the snap. He goes completely low center of gravity. He puts all his weight forward. He quite literally puts his face mask into the B-hole of the center, and then he just starts squatting because he's got 1,000 tons of force in his legs. And then they put their two biggest backs in the backfield. One of them runs up and puts his shoulder in Jalen's butt. The other one grabs Jalen by the top of the jersey and, you know, battering rams him forward. It is all you have got just between the center, Jalen Hurts, and two running backs, you have got the squatting power of four NFL players all pushing the football forward. At the end of the day, there isn't a way for the defense to stop that without having five NFL guys squatting back against them on the other side. And you can't really do that on defense because the first time you do and you line it up, and also you have to go right at the snap, right? You can't stack those five guys and go, okay, as soon as we know it's a tush push, then push. You just have to do it in the snap. And as soon as they do that, Philly's going to, you know, direct snap it or fake it or whatever. But the tush push is a genius way to move the football. And Danny Parkins says, I hate it because I can't see the ball. And the beauty of football is not knowing what's happened, and you know what is going to happen when they do it, which is they're going to get that first down. And my thought is, well, y'all better figure something out.
And don't disparage rugby, man. Those guys are tough.
When I lived in Okaloosa County back in the day, there was a rugby club, and a dear friend of mine, Dan Corrigan, was the captain of that club. He brought me out to a practice one day, and he said, do you want to just casually play rugby a little bit and just kind of feel it out, see if you're interested in joining the club? And I was like, yeah, 3 minutes. I was like, no, nope, I'm good. I'm going to head back to the house and play a little Madden on the Xbox. If y'all need me, shoot me a text message. I'll be in an ice bath for the next 6 to 8 days. Y'all, I don't bleep with rugby players. They are bad mojos. All right, let's take a break. We'll come back here in just a minute. What's your thought on the tush push? You go with Danny Parkin saying it should be banned from the game, or is it a sucks to be you Chiefs figured out kind of situation? Back after this, the Fan Upstate.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, football fans, are you obsessed with the game?
Oh, yeah.
Do you find yourself looking for breakdowns from every angle? For those who can't get enough, subscribe to Brian Baldinger's podcast, The Best Football Show, where he discusses the top teams and players from around the league each week.
That's what I watched this week, a dominant performance.
New episodes drop every weekday, including Trench Talk Tuesdays with former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth. Make sure to subscribe to The Best Football Show on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
Text line 844-326-3663. Shoot us a text. You don't have to start your text with a keyword anymore. We have our own text line now. Yay! 844-326-3663 is the number. You can also call that number and get on the air. James has texted the show. I don't think that it's James from the stream. Doesn't matter. Live stream's up, by the way. Facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on YouTube or The Rob Brown Show across the platforms. Facebook, YouTube, and Twitch. We are streaming the show live all 4 hours every single day of the week. James texts the show and says, why is the tush push unstoppable? I'm going to tell you, and I'll kind of break it down position by position. There are really, on the offense, there are
one, two, three, four, five, six positions that matter. The center, the two guards, the quarterback, and the two running backs. Those are the five guys. Across the defensive line, what you are thinking is, if you're a defense, you're probably stacking the line of scrimmage at the big man position, at the center position. You're probably going to have a guy covering the A gap, a guy covering the B gap. My thought on, if I know the tush push is coming, I'm going with a pure classic nose guard, right? I'm putting a man right in the face of the center. Then I'm putting a guy on the straight up technique on the two guards, and then I'm having them all dive at the football. The tush push is determined by those guys plus the middle linebacker and whatever he decides to do in that spot. The tush push works so well for the Eagles because of the physics of football, right? It's the physics of football. It starts with the center, and then it goes from the center to the two guards. The center has the advantage here. Because, as you will hear every offensive line coach in America say, if you've ever played football, doesn't matter what level you played at, middle school, high school, low college, high college, or pro, you will hear every offensive line coach say, low man wins. Leverage wins. It's I don't mean to cross the streams of my nerddom in my knowing a ball here, but it's physics. Low man wins. If you have something under another thing, that thing has the advantage of applying force in a way that wins. So the reason the tush push works starts with the fact that the offense has the advantage of knowing when the ball is snapped. If the low man wins, it's just like anything else. Whoever can get to a spot first is going to have the advantage of holding that spot, right? This is why on the battlefield, if you're a fan of studying, you know, classical war, a team that is able to, an army that is able to get to the advantageous spot that must be held in order to win and dig into that spot usually wins that battle. Right. And in order to take that spot from them, you ordinarily have to throw extra numbers, extra men, heavy numbers at them. And you have to be willing to sacrifice a larger percentage of your army to root them out of that position. So the center knows the snap count. He knows when the ball is going to be snapped, and he's the one snapping it. So when he snaps that ball, he is able to deliver the snap. And in the same movement as that right hand goes back to snap the ball to Jalen Hurts, in that same movement, he is able to get lower than the nose tackle to establish the low man position and then to utilize all of his squat power as the low man to, at the least, enter a stalemate with the defensive tackle. Then we go to the second position, and that's Jalen Hurts himself. Jalen Hurts, when he gets the snap on the tush push, if you watch it, Jalen Hurts goes low. Again, same philosophy. Low man wins. He's going to take that face mask. He is going to put the face mask into the butt of the center. He is going to put his shoulder into that spot. He's going to cover up the ball with both hands. And then he is just going to utilize his lower body strength and add it to what the center is establishing in what is, hopefully for the Eagles, a stalemate with the defensive tackle. Now, at the point of attack, I have two lower body strengths, Jalen Hurts and the centers, against the nose tackle, right? Against the nose tackle. Then we move to the next level. At this point on the defensive side of the football, you have the two other defensive linemen, your two other defensive tackles. They're going to crash down on the center. But keep in mind, those two guards are going to put their head
in between the defensive tackle and the center. So they're not, if they are able to get a hand to the center, they are not going to be able to apply their full lower body strength. So you're talking now about maybe a defensive tackle on both sides. Maybe. Good offensive guards, they're going to be able to get that quick first step to the inside, create a seal block, dive underneath the tackle, seal them off, and not allow. But even if they do get in there, now I've got the center and the two guards versus the three. Now it's up to the middle linebacker to try to find Jalen Hurts and get to that spot. And the reality is he's probably not going to be able to, because not only do I have Jalen Hurts' lower body strength added to the lower body strength of the center driving forward, but they also run this out of a two running back formation where the running backs are next to each other. And what they do is they put their two heavy backs back there. The one on the left is going to run up, and he is going to take his shoulder and he's going to put it onto the left butt cheek of Jalen Hurts. And he's going to take his hands and he's going to grab the outside of the pants, the hips of Jalen Hurts, and he's going to use all of his lower body strength to drive him forward. So now I've got the combined squatting strength of a running back, a quarterback, and a center against the combined squatting strength of a nose tackle and maybe like a percentage of it of two other defensive tackles. And now there's that middle linebacker. But again, if he can't see the ball, it's going to be hard for him to be able to get in there and get to Jalen Hurts. And also at this point, obviously, there's a freaking wall of meat that has been built. So you got the left running back who's going to put his shoulder onto the butt of Jalen Hurts, grab him by the hips and push him forward. The running back on the right is going to run forward. He's going to get next to Jalen. He's going to put his hands on his shoulder pads, because remember, Jalen Hurts is leaning forward, right? He is pushing forward, which means that his body angle is like 20 degrees to the ground. He is slanted over. So that right side running back is going to run up. He's going to grab Jalen Hurts by the shoulder pads, and he is going to be pulling Jalen Hurts forward. So I've now got the combined strength of the center, the quarterback, the left, and the right running backs all pushing number one forward. And they are up against the combined strength of a nose tackle, a middle linebacker, an inside linebacker, and maybe a portion of two defensive tackles. There's just more power. There's more horsepower on the offensive side of the ball. But what makes this work, because as Lonzo pointed out, the Bills tried this a couple of times and it didn't work. What makes this work is because of Jalen Hurts' squat strength, Jalen Hurts is able to get very low to the ground. When he goes low to the ground, you can look at any camera angle in the building. You cannot see the football. It disappears into the mix because he is super low. He is as close to the backside of the center as possible. He has got two running backs that are now on him from the rear, right? You got one on the left, one on the right. They're collapsed down onto him. And Jalen Hurts goes damn near down to ground level. So that ball is all the way down, almost at the ground by the time the defense establishes contact. So now, that ball's lost. That ball's lost. And if you're a defensive player, for a defensive lineman, obviously, there are rules. I want you in this gap. I want you making this stunt, this move, whatever. But once you are through that assignment, you're through your gap assignment, you're through your stunt or your twist or whatever you're doing, once you're done with that assignment, the next rule for most defensive linemen on most snaps is see ball, get ball. Well, guess what? You can't see the ball. That's the magic of this play. It's the magic of the brotherly shove, of the tush push. You can't see the ball. Jalen tucks it away very well, and he is so low to the ground and surrounded by so many big, meaty men slapping meat that you can't find the ball to hit it. You just kind of are playing like a reverse tug of war in this spot, right? It is effectively the driving strength of the center, the quarterback, and two running backs versus the driving strength of a nose guard and an inside linebacker, and maybe if you are lucky, one of the two exterior
defensive lineman. Well, interior defensive lineman, but exterior to this play. If you're lucky, you were looking at the squat strength of five guys versus the squat strength of, at the most, three. And when you look at an NFL team, no matter what five positions you pick, with a couple of rare exceptions, five guys is going to be able to out-squat three guys, right? And then you add into the fact that, if you've never seen the vidges of it, Jalen Hurts is freakishly strong for a quarterback. Freakishly strong for a quarterback. So it's not just the squat strength of five guys, but one of those guys for their position is abnormally strong in the squat game. It makes it damn near impossible to stop. It makes it almost impossible to stop. Is it boring? I mean, maybe. I don't find it boring. I think it's fantastic, but that's because I'm a giant nerd, and I think it is incredible how much time and thought this team has put into how do we take advantage of the physics of the game? How do we take advantage of the scenario to make this an unstoppable play? They have figured that out, and the reality is every defender in the league, they know what's coming. They know how it's going to look. They know what's going to run. But you can't stop physics. I've used the example a million times on the show. It's my favorite one to lean into. I know how to stop a train. You stand in front of it and you push real hard, right? But the reality is, no matter what physics you understand, at the end of the day, the equations are the equations. And if you can't generate more power than the force which you are opposing, the force that you are opposing is going to win. If I got 100 horsepower going this way and 101 going back the other way, the 101 is going to win 100% of the time. There is no other. Now, there are things that you can do to try to, tip the equation in your favor, right? But the only thing that you can do in that scenario to tip the equation in your favor is add more force. At the end of the day, this play basically comes down to the Eagles are able to generate X amount of force behind an invisible football going one way, and the only way that you are stopping this play is to generate that much force plus one coming back the other way. And because of the design of the formation, it's almost impossible to do. There's no way to do it. The only way you might be able to is to have like a nose tackle and then stack two linebackers on both hips behind him, right? Put the nose tackle, maybe stack the inside linebacker in his back pocket, basically mirror the offensive line on the other side. But as we've talked about a couple of times, there is a disadvantage to the defense here. That disadvantage is if Jalen Hurts comes to the line, if the Eagles come to the line and they look across and they go, oh, they've got five in the box to match the five that we're going to push with. There's five at the ball, which Jalen Hurts is doing right there. I promise you the Eagles have a bleep play in mind. Hey, if we ever come up and there's five in the box, Jalen is going to tap the one on his chest. And if he taps the one on the chest, we are audible into this play. It's going to be a pitch out left. You're telling me in that spot, if you go five on the center, because that's the only way to equal five Eagles pushing forward, what is Jalen doing? He's getting up real nice and tight like it's the brotherly shove. He's calling for the snap. But instead of diving into the butt of the center, what's he going to do? Step back, pitch it out to Saquon, let him race you to the foot line. How many guys on the outside you think are beating Saquon in that spot? Not very many. The reality is, the reason that guys like Danny Parkins are frustrated with this play is because you can't stop it. Washington stopped it one time this past weekend. You are stopping this play if and only if you defend it flawlessly and somebody on Philly's side messes up. And they've been running this play for what? 3-4 years now? They've been running this play? The likelihood that somebody on Philly is going to get it wrong ain't real high. And that is the only hope that you have of stopping it, is that somebody on the Philly 5 messes up and your side plays it
perfectly.
There was concern with Jason Kelce's retirement that it would affect the effectiveness of the play, but it has not.
It hasn't. Because they went, and this is what the Eagles have done for years, they have gone and they have killed the draft and they found the next Jason Kelce before Jason Kelce left. They had this planned for. Howie Roseman is a genius. Go look at the Eagles drafts from the last 4 years. It's insane the number of starters and top-notch starters that they have drafted the last 4 years. It is proof that if you want to have a successful NFL franchise, you have to have an owner who is invested in the logo, divested from the actual team. You've got a head coach who knows what he's doing. You have to have a quarterback, and you got to kill the draft. Those are the requirements. The teams that have check marks next to those, the Chiefs, the Eagles, not the Bills, not the Ravens. That's why they're at home this weekend. We should do a sports flash now. I was trying to come up with a segue. I couldn't do it. Lonzo Tush pushes sports flashes. The Jalen Hurts of sports flashes, Lonzo.
No,
I can't.
Okay, that's a good move. That's a good move.
I don't care anymore.
I'm not going to do what I want. I'm going to do what is required. And that is push the wrong button. Wow. There could be a dramatic change to the NBA as Commissioner Adam Silver floated the idea of cutting down games to 10-minute quarters yesterday. Silver claimed the move would be made as a response to TV preferences of viewers. But some expressed concerns that the league is making room for more advertisements in games. Denver head coach Michael Malone and Knicks coach Tom Thibodeau both openly critiqued the report. As a response to the attack on Bourbon Street New Year's Eve, the NFL will be beefing up visible security at the Super Bowl next weekend. Around 100,000 people are expected to visit New Orleans for the event, which has been given the second highest security rating by the Department of Homeland Security. Tune in Sunday at 1:30 as the Furman Paladins take on the East Tennessee State Buccaneers. It's Furman versus ETSU right here on your home for Furman Paladins basketball, The Fan, Upstate.